Yesterday, Sharaji explained that when practicing Satipatthana Bhavana, Satipatthana practice, in the beginning of the practice, Dandi, laziness, can give the most trouble. Laziness is the greatest, nearest internal enemy. The person who has laziness does not want to practice either samatha or vipassana that develops the mind and the knowledge. Even if the person practices, but he, she does not practice intensively or diligently. For those lazy people, laziness is the greatest hindrance, and thus the person does not achieve in the practice. In order to encourage the yogis, in order to practice without laziness, Buddha used the word attandito, meaning one should be free from laziness. In order to drive out laziness, one needs to assert atapa viriya, ardent effort. Ardent effort can overwhelm laziness. So one should cultivate atapa viriya, ardent effort. And also, one needs to cultivate vitakka, aiming, directing the noting mind towards the object. Vitakka is directly opposite of tinamita. The example is given here. If one wants to have victory on the enemy, one needs overwhelming force. And also, one needs to apply the opposite force of the enemy in order to gain victory. So in the same way, in the Dhamma field as well, in the practice, one needs to have victory on the defilements such as lobha, dosa, moha, greed, anger, delusion, that has been troubling throughout the round of existences. In order to dispel these defilements, one should cultivate the mental strength, that are the opposite of these defilements. In cultivating the mental strength, in order to drive out the defilements, dandi, laziness, which is the word for tinamita, sloth and torpor, gives the most trouble in the beginning of the practice. Atapa viriya, ardent effort, can overwhelm laziness, and one should apply vitakka, aiming, directing the noting mind towards the object. This vitakka is the opposing force of tinamita. And Saraji explained that yesterday, and by now yogis have understood that in order to drive out laziness, one should apply atapa viriya, the overwhelming force, and vitakka, which is the opposing force. It is very important to practice according to the guidance. One should listen attentively on the guidance and instruction, and one should put it into practice so that his or her practice will be effective. Practicing diligently according to the guidance and instruction, one, it will be worthy of coming across the Buddha Sasana, the dispensation of the Buddha. There should be sadhukan savana. One should listen attentively to the guidance and instruction. Sadhukan manasikara, one should put it into practice. And there will be sasana sampatti. One will be endowed with the teachings of the Buddha. Practicing satipatthana meditation is to cultivate the Buddhist culture, the Buddhist teachings within oneself. In order to keep one's bodily behavior and verbal behavior blameless, pure, and clean, one needs to practice sila, morality. In order to keep the mind purified, one needs to practice samadhi, concentration. In order to weaken and abandon kilesa, defilements, one needs to practice panya, wisdom. In order to remove gross, medium, and refined form of defilements, one should practice the three trainings, sila, samadhi, and panya, morality, concentration, and wisdom. They are called sikha training. As much one can practice the three trainings, the more one can remove gross, medium, and refined form of defilements, and one's bodily behavior, verbal behavior, and mental behavior will become pure, clean, gentle, cultured, lovable and peaceful, and there will be sasana sampatti. One will be endowed with the teachings of the Buddha. To be endowed with the teachings of the Buddha, there should be two factors. The first one is sadhukan savana. One should listen attentively, respectfully on the guidance and instructions. The second factor is sadhukan manasikara. One should be noting every arising object continuously with mindfulness. One should practice satipatthana meditation in order to weaken and abandon the rudeness in body, speech, and mind, the rudeness that has been following the round of assistances. By practicing, these rudenesses will become weaker and weaker, and they will be abandoned, and one will become tamed and cultured. One should not take easy in the practice. One should not be practicing in a haphazard manner, but one should practice diligently. There should be sakkaccha kariya. One should practice respectfully. And sataccha kariya, one should practice continuously without stopping. Yogis should not be resting in between. The only time for rest is at night, at the sleeping hour, yogi can take rest. Otherwise, yogi should not be resting in the practice. Yogi may be resting, but kilesa, defilements, will not rest at all. Taking rest in the practice, the mind will be slack and the defilements will enter. Practicing satipatthana meditation is something that is very high and precious. Only those who value the satipatthana practice, only if they value it and take it to be precious, they will be able to practice respectfully. But people who do not value the practice, they will be looking here and there. They will be doing walking, and at the same time, they are reaching for their pockets or moving their hands while they are walking. So for those people who do not practice respectfully, intensively, they do not deserve the Dhamma. So only those who practice respectfully, intensively, deserves to attain the Dhamma, which is very precious. So it is very important to practice accurately, precisely, according to the guidance given. In the Satipatthana, the only three, Viriya, Sati, and Panya, effort, mindfulness, and wisdom are mentioned. But in the part where it explains Satya, in the definitions of Samadhi, right concentration, it involves the jhana. Jhana means observing closely on the object of meditation. When noting rising and falling of the abdomen and other objects, in order to note these objects with sustained mindfulness, in order to keep the mind concentrated, to discern the true nature, at times the chanda, the will, is strong. At times the yogi feels over-eager, and there can be excessive viriya, excessive effort. When effort is excessive, the noting mind overshoots the target. At times, the mind slips away from the object. When the yogi is less eager, viriya, effort, is slack, and the noting mind falls short of the object. In order not to have this problem of having effort either excessive or slack, one needs to apply the jhanic factor. One needs to apply vitaka, aiming, directing the noting mind towards the object, which is one of the jhanic factor. So vitaka is the initial application of the mind onto the object, and it is not just ordinary thinking. And also, in order that the noting mind reaches the object of meditation, one should exert viriya, effort. So in this way, in order that the noting mind should be face-to-face or direct with the object, one should aim and direct one's noting mind towards the object. It is vitaka, and it is jhanic factor. And also, one should apply effort, viriya, so that the noting mind reaches the object. The example is given here of playing marbles. When playing marbles, one needs to aim so that the marble hits the target. Aiming the marble alone, the marble will not get to the target. So one needs to put effort so that the marble reaches the target. If the player throws the marble without aiming, then the marble will land elsewhere. And aiming the marble alone, the marble will not get to the target. So in order to hit the target, the player must aim the marble towards the target and put effort so that the marble hits the target. And when the marble hits the target, the player feels joy and satisfied. Another example is given here. When taking meals, one picks up the piece of food with a fork. In order to pick up the food with the fork, one should aim the fork towards the food, and one should put effort so that the fork reaches the food. Aiming the fork alone, the fork will not get to the food. One should exert effort so that the fork reaches the food. If one puts effort to, if one puts effort alone without aiming the fork onto the food, the fork will land elsewhere. So in order to pick up the food, one should aim the fork and put effort so that the fork can pierce into the food. When the fork pierces into the food by applying aiming and effort, one can pick up the piece of food. So this example is given here compared to noting the object with aim and effort. And Sharaji will explain about jhana today. And another example is given here when one is playing darts, the arrow or shooting. When the bullet or when the arrow hits the target or the bull's eye, the player gains more marks. But Sharaji will not explain in detail as this example is more to the unwholesome side. But the yogis will understand. So Sharaji, before Sharaji explains about jhana, Sharaji explains what jhana is. Jhana is defined as aramana jayati upanijayati di jhana. Whether the person is practicing samatha, the tranquility practice, or vipassana, insight practice, one should observe, concentrate closely on the object of meditation. Jayati means observing concentratedly. Upanijayati means observing closely, fully. Fully means not partially, but the observation on the object should be fully on the object, fully closely on the object. So observing closely, completely, fully on the object of meditation is called jhana. There are two kinds of jhana. The first one is aramanupa nijhana. The second is lakkhanupa nijhana. The first one, aramanupa nijhana, one has to observe the single object of meditation, such as pathavi. When practicing pathavi kasina as the object, one has to prepare a disc of soil in order to use it as the object of meditation. And one has to observe this Kasina disc, the disc of soil, and noted as Pathavi Pathavi, or Earth Earth. To observe it and note it mentally as Pathavi Pathavi, or Earth, and at times they verbally also recite as Pathavi or Earth. So practicing Aramanupanijana, one has to focus one's attention on the single object of meditation so that the mind does not go elsewhere, and one should observe completely, fully, closely on the object. Lekhanupanijana is observing the unique individual characteristic, sabhava lekhana, and common characteristics, samanya lekhana, of the nama rupa, mind and matter. So one should observe the nama rupa in order to know the unique individual characteristics and common characteristics. In order to know the characteristics, one should be mindful every time the abdomen rises, every time the abdomen falls, every time one sees, hears, smells, tastes, touches, knows, and so on. When the object arises, one should note it with aim and effort, and as one observes the object, one will discern the unique individual characteristics of these nama rupa. And when viriya, sati, and samadhi, when effort, mindfulness, and concentration become strong, one will discern that these objects arise and pass away. They are suffering as they are constantly arising and passing away, and they arise in their own accord. And one discerns the common characteristics of impermanent suffering and non-self. One discerns these characteristics not from thinking, not from reflection, but one discerns these characteristics through the practice, and in order to know the common characteristics of the nama rupa, one should observe these nama rupa fully, completely, closely when these objects arise. Among the two jhanas, the first kind, Aramanupanijana, one has to observe the single object of meditation in order to keep the mind calm and concentrated. And it involves samatha practice, the calm practice. So the Aramanupanijana can be called samatha jhana. The second one, Lekhanupanijana, one practices in order to know sabhava lekhana, unique individual characteristics, and samanya lekhana, the common characteristics of the nama and rupa. Lekhanupanijana involves panya, knowledge, and it is relating to vipassana practice. And thus, Lekhanupanijana is called vipassana jhana. So to simplify it, there are two jhanas, samatha jhana and vipassana jhana. In the practice of samatha jhana, the calm practice, one focuses one's attention on single object that is conceptual. One concentrates on panyati concept as the object in order to gain concentration. Yogis are not practicing samatha jhana, so Saraji will not explain samatha jhana in detail. In order to develop vipassana jhana, one has to observe the nama rupa that are arising at the sixth sense door at the moment they arise, and one should be noting them with aim and effort in order to develop sati, mindfulness. By developing sati and samadhi, mindfulness and concentration, one discerns the nature, the characteristics of paramattha, the ultimate truth. By practicing vipassana, one will discern the characteristics of the nama rupa, and one discerns distinctly between nama and rupa, and one discerns cause and effect, and it is only the beginning of vipassana jhana. And as one continues to practice, one discerns that the sabhava lakkhana, these unique individual characteristics, they arise and pass away. They are suffering as they are constantly arising and passing away, and they are arising in their own accord. One discerns samanya lakkhana, common characteristics, which are common to all nama rupa, and it is vipassana. So in the vipassana practice, there are jhanic factors associating with the vipassana, and thus it is called vipassana jhana. The difference between the two is that the first one, samatha jhana, one concentrates the mind onto the panyati concept as the single object. When the mind is calm, collected on the single object of panyati concept, one develops samatha jhana. The second one, one has to practice to note the nama rupa that are arising at the present moment, and by noting them, one discerns that they are arising as cause and effect, they are impermanent, suffering, and non-self. So vipassana jhana involves observing the nama rupa that really exist in order to see the characteristics of impermanent, suffering, and non-self. The first jhana, the samatha jhana, is practiced in order to gain samadhi, concentration only, and it is called samatha jhana. And the second one, vipassana jhana, is practiced in order to develop knowledge. When practicing vipassana jhana, there involves the five factors, vitakka, where one aims and directs one's noting mind towards the object, vichara, the noting mind rubbing, stroking against the object, piti, joy, sukha, happiness, and ekagata, one-pointedness. So in the beginning, there involves five of these jhanic factors. Among these five, vitakka means aiming, directing the noting mind towards the object. It is very important in the practice. When one's noting mind is aimed and directed on the object, the noting mind hits the target, the object of meditation, the noting mind rubs against the object. Rubbing against the object is vichara. The noting mind reaching the object is due to viriya, effort. When the noting mind rubs against the object, the noting is effective. One has joy, happiness, one-pointedness of the mind, and the other jhanic factors are automatically developed. Vitaka keeps the mind open, blossom, and active and alert. And having vichara, the noting mind hits the target, the object of meditation. The noting is effective. The noting mind rubs and strokes against the object. When the noting mind rubs and strokes against the object, the noting is effective, that there will be certainty, and thus one will remove uncertainty and doubt. Noting being effective, one is certain of the object, one comes to decision, one is very certain, and thus one removes vichikicca, skeptical doubt. So these are the benefits of practice. When playing marbles, one has to aim one's marble towards the target, and one should put effort so that the marble reaches the target. When the marble hits the target, then the player feels joy and happiness. So in the practice as well, one has to aim one's noting mind towards the object and put effort so that the noting mind reaches the object of meditation. When the noting mind rubs against the object, there will be certainty of the object. Noting mind hitting the object of meditation, one feels piti, joy. Having joy through the practice, one removes vyabada, ill will, which makes the mind rotten. Vyabada can make the mind rotten, whereas piti keeps the mind glad and fresh. And also, happiness, one-pointedness of mind also develops. Developing happiness, there will not be odaja or gogoja. There will not be restlessness or remorse. And developing ekagata, one-pointedness, one removes kama chanda, sensual desire, wanting to hear good things, wanting to see good things, wanting to hear good sounds. This sensual desire is overcome by developing ekagata, one-pointedness. So in this way, developing the jhanic factors, one is removing nivrana hindrances such as kama chanda, sensual desire, and so on. The nivrana hindrances, which blocked the chance of wholesomeness from arising, will be overcome. Cetaso upakilesa, the nivranas polluting the mind, will also be overcome. Panyaya dubali karana, the hindrances that weaken the knowledge, will also be overcome. And through the practice, yogi experiences joy, happiness, one-pointedness of the mind. And this is guaranteed to the yogis who practices intensively and diligently. But for those who are practicing in an ordinary way, without putting effort in the practice, such kind of benefits are not guaranteed. When practicing, one should be noting the objects such as rising and falling of the abdomen with aim and effort one should aim one's note in mind, so that the note in mind will be direct or face to face with the object, and one should exert ardent effort. Noting the object with aim and effort, there will be vichara, the note in mind rubs against the object. And in order to have vichara, one should apply two things. Vitaka, aiming the note in mind towards the object. Atapa viriya, ardent effort. Noting with these two factors, aiming and effort, the other four jhanic factors will be developed automatically. One develops sati, mindfulness, khanika samadhi, momentary concentration. As the yogi becomes skillful in the practice, the noting mind automatically becomes direct or face-to-face with the object, and there will be samma sangappa. And when there is samma sangappa, one will also develop sampajanya, clear comprehension. And Saraji will continue to explain tomorrow. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.